Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Did you see the tweet that was like, all of us strangers is so depressing and so beautiful? And then the reply was, likely for a Paul Mescal film to be.
Even Andrew Scott to be in as well.
True.
Recently.
Fair. Yeah. Why? Why does he insist on breaking my heart and then putting it together and then like sort of shattering it again, you know?
I don't know. Is he being typecast into those movies as opposed to people who get typecast into rom-coms or action movies?
Interesting. I feel like he wants to take them though.
I don't think he's being forced to, no.
He's good at them.
Mm. He's got to break out though, hasn't he?
Hopefully Gladiator's not depressing.
I think it will be.
Okay.
Hello there, everybody. This is I Only Like You and Movies.
Why did you do that like that? Oh, you add a bit of spice, add a bit of flair.
Yeah, why not?
Okay.
Yeah. I didn't forget the name or anything.
Well, I thought you just like ceased to function.
Just a bit of fun for everybody at home.
Cool.
We've watched, my name's Lonnie, by the way. Her name's Sinead. We've watched All of Us Strangers. We watched a little while ago now, but it hasn't left our minds, has it, Sinead?
No.
Really affecting movie.
Mm-hmm.
Strangely, not any Oscar buzz, nothing at all. I mean, there's only 5 movies or that can get 5 actors who can get noms.
Screenplay though?
Yeah.
Where's that?
Yeah, I don't know. There's only so many nominations going around, I suppose.
Fine.
And it's not the be all and end all.
Fine.
But very strange.
It should have been nominated.
Or maybe Paul Mescal, like, oh, you got his thing last year, you got a nomination.
I think Andrew deserves a nomination for this. Anyway,
but
sorry.
Also, like, have you got to take someone else's nomination away, so.
I could do that.
Who?
Bradley Cooper. Done.
Wow. You're piling on the hate train for Bradley Cooper.
I'm not piling on the hate train for Bradley Cooper. I just think that Andrew Scott's performance in All of Us Strangers is better than Bradley Cooper's performance in Maestro.
Okay. Well, let's get into that. What is All of Us Strangers about, Sinead?
It is about a man who is a writer, filmmaker, I think.
Screenwriter, yeah.
Yeah, screenwriter. Who's having a bit of writer's block and he's trying to write about his childhood. And he goes out one day and sees a man who looks like his father. Follows him home and then...
He goes back to his home, his actual home.
Realises that it's his childhood home.
Mm.
And his mum and dad are there at the age that they were when they died.
Mm.
And it's sort of him interacting with these sort of like, I guess ghost-like figures, but they're not ghosts. They're like real people, essentially. And trying to reconcile his childhood and his life as a gay man whilst also trying to pursue a relationship with Paul Mescal's character, who they're two people who live in this building kind of alone together.
Mm.
But it's sort of, it's like about grief and about loss, and it's based on a novel. It's based on a Japanese novel called Strangers by Taiji Yamada. And I think it's been changed a little bit from that.
Seems like it was the general conceit was kept, but it seems like Andrew Haig has pretty much made it about his life.
Yeah.
Heavily inspired by.
Andrew Haig's the director. They actually shot the film in his childhood home, which is just so wild to me that he goes, yeah, why not? And yeah, the film is pretty much about his relationship and with his parents and being gay and everything. So.
Yeah, this didn't happen to him, I don't think, but heavily inspired by his life.
Yeah.
And I think all the better for it. I think it was really impressive.
I think that when people make art that's based on... I don't know. Well, I was going to say... Based on their own experiences, I think it's more powerful and the audience can feel it. However, my mind instantly went to try to make a rebuttal for myself, and I was thinking of The Fabelmans and how much of that didn't work for me, even though it was so personal to Spielberg's life. But it could just be the nature of the story that didn't gel. But I think also watched a lot of interviews with Andrew Scott talking about the film, and he said that a lot of his personal experiences of coming out and being gay was a lot in this film as well. So it feels like a really personal story that we're sort of like being let into and being allowed to see. And I feel like when you watch the film, I had this feeling of, I want to be respectful of what this story is. Do you know what I mean? Like, they're letting us into this really harrowing, difficult, singular experience that I don't have any experience in.
Mm.
And I just felt really grateful that they were letting me understand that.
I know where you're coming from, but I think it was universal what they were talking about. Sure. Having parents and grief and those things. It was through the lens and through the prism of the gay man and his particular troubles.
Yeah, I agree.
But I don't think it was that difficult to... I know exactly what you're saying, but I'm thinking it was talking about... They took a singular story and made it universal, what I think.
Mm.
It's sort of ambiguous how much of this is in his head, how much of it is real ghost story.
Mm.
What do you think about those sort of aspects of this story? Magical realism, essentially.
Yeah, and I was thinking, like, what's the last, like, fantasy romance film I watched? And I think it's probably, like, About Time.
Okay.
Which is a great movie. Donald Gleeson, Rachel McAdams, mm-hmm. Bill Nighy.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't normally think that I like fantasy romance or that sort of magical realism genre very much. And yet everything that I've read or watched about it, I have enjoyed. So I need to get rid of that, you know, thing that I tell myself. I think going back to the house was real. And I think in a way, this isn't meant to be a cop-out, but in a way it doesn't matter whether it was real or not because it was real to him. And it could have all been happening in his head as he was thinking of them and what would I say to them now and everything.
Mm.
I believe the, like people were saying, was he actually writing at all? Like, was that a conceit as well? I don't think so. I think he was a writer and he was struggling with writer's block, but then I think that's probably where it ends about the realism.
I think it's very important, the fact that he is a writer.
Mm. Yeah, you can't discount that from the...
Yeah, and so he's doing research about his life, and I think that's inspiring thoughts about that.
Yes.
I'm not saying it was all a dream or anything like that necessarily, but I think you could easily say this is a story he's writing or imagining, or it's a potential story in his mind about what would happen.
Yeah.
But equally, it could be something in this world is magic and he was able to fall into that magical spell.
Yeah.
But it does seem like they were apparitions, because as we know, there's a few things. They never ate. They were always in the same clothing or same sort of area. They hadn't changed a bit.
Yeah.
Like, it didn't seem like they had stayed still, but he had moved forward. How does that work in any sort of magical realm? Like,
there was that really intense scene where I thought we were going into a horror movie for a bit when he takes Paul to the house and tries to get in, and I was like, oh, a new family is going to be living in that house and they're going to be like, you're insane. And if you lost, that's where my mind went. But we could see them through the door. It's just that he could only access it by himself.
Mm.
Which I don't know if that really holds up given what we know about the twist with Paul Mescal. So there's going to be spoilers. We're going to talk about spoilers. If you don't want to hear them, go watch the movie.
Mm-hmm.
That's not coming on DVD. What is wrong with people?
Easier to stream things. It's much cheaper, I suppose.
I can't hold a physical copy of it. Of a stream. And that's what I want to do.
Mm.
Anyway, so the big twist is that he's having this sort of relationship with Paul's character. It's a sort of, Paul's playing a younger gay man who sort of the black sheep of the family and has no contact with his family anymore. And Andrew's playing a much older gay man who has a lot of experience of, you know, being gay in the 80s and that whole crisis. Mm. And so the rule is, like, he couldn't go into the house then to see Claire Foy and Jamie Bell, who play his parents, by the way, and do an amazing job, because Paul was with him and he could only get into it as himself. But I don't know if that makes sense if Paul wasn't real and he wasn't actually there. Don't just shrug and be like, magic.
Yeah, well, they said they could see him.
That's true. They could. Oh, yeah, and they saw Paul. Yeah. Some sort of psychological.
Well, it was all in his head.
Yeah, okay. All right, okay. Fine. Yeah.
I don't think it's a movie where there's strict laws about the magic that's happening. I don't think it is, but that, I think because it was already a stretch, say, the magic to bring his family back, his parents back, and the fact that Paul's character has also passed away and isn't a figure.
Yeah.
Too much of a stretch to bring them together.
Mm.
But also, you're right, what is not stopping them, really?
Mm.
But that wasn't the story. The story was he's got two things going on. That's all right. I don't think it pays much to get too in the weeds about how that works. You mentioned the parents being amazing.
Yeah.
I think it's Jamie Bell's movie, underneath it all. He's like the real MVP. Obviously, everyone's amazing, but I thought he was especially good. Probably a difficult character to play.
Difficult character to play. I strongly disagree that it was his movie. I think he would have been the last on the list out of the four of them, to be honest. Why do you think that it was his movie sort of thing?
I think he brings it all together. I think they're doing all the really obvious work, and not saying obvious in a bad way, but because Andrew Scott's in every scene, essentially. He's got heavy lifting. But I think the whole movie comes down to his parents knew he was gay or had suspicions and wouldn't do anything to help him because of the societal norms of the time.
Yeah.
And this is him imagining, what if they're able to say sorry to me?
Yeah.
Would they still love me? In that, in his mind, he's trying to figure out if they would have been able to love him in the future. And I think it comes down to the scene where he talks to his dad about that.
Yeah. I think everyone wants to be able to, like, I don't know, ask their parent why they did certain things and have their parent say, I'm sorry, and I was wrong. And it's really hard not getting that as a child of parents. And so this was, I understand, wish fulfillment in a way. It was, if he could go back and ask his dad, why didn't you come in when I was crying? Why didn't why did you tell me to cross my legs, made me look feminine? Like, and I think about that every time that happens. All we want is for someone to say, I'm really sorry and I made a mistake. And that's such a beautiful scene, the one in the lounge room, and then flashes to him as a kid. Beautiful direction there and decision to sort of have these flashes of him come back as a child. But there's also that wonderful scene with Claire Foy at the dining table, which is just heart-wrenching for me, having no personal stakes in the discussion that's been raised. But she's just, people are really products of the time in which they live. And she wasn't a bad person or anything. She loved him very much. But she was lived in a time where she thought negative things about someone who was gay and thought that they would be sick.
And how quickly has it changed?
Yeah, absolutely. It's only a couple of generations, right?
Well, maybe that guy's life. Yeah. And not to say everyone's cool with it now or everyone was bad about it back then, but
no.
They seem like a typical family going through typical events. And that, I wonder if it has wish fulfillment.
But not in a negative way necessarily.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But he doesn't let his parents get off lightly. Like, in some ways, it could be like, comes in, I'm gay. Oh, that's great. And I give him a big hug. No, he actually goes through the emotional turmoil of what that would happen.
And they interface with it. It's like, okay, well, what would practically happen? They'd have the same views that they had when they were that age, I guess.
But ultimately, they love him enough that it wins out.
I keep thinking about, ever since you mentioned on the pod, like, months ago about memorable images, so many stand out to me. There's the scene with his dad, the scene with Claire at the table, the one where they're decorating the Christmas tree and she's apologizing to him through singing the Christmas carol that happens to be on the radio. Such a beautiful moment. Mm-hmm. I think Claire Foy does an absolutely amazing job in what is also a really hard role.
Yeah.
Very unlikable character at certain points.
Yeah, in a just world, they would have all got nominations. All four of them, basically.
I think this is a perfect film. Like, I'm going to say that up front. There's nothing I would change about it. I really loved Andrew Scott's physicality playing the character. There were some really beautiful moments that were improv that I really could feel. There's a scene where Claire Foy and Jamie Bell are like, you can't come see us anymore. Like, you're getting too obsessed with this. It's not real. You're going to have to return back to your real life eventually. And he tries to get them to stop saying it, and he puts his hand over Jamie's mouth as he's saying it. And I've heard him talk in interviews a lot about how he took a lot from physicality of children. Because he's a child in that instance, right? And about how physical they are, that they'll touch you and they'll hug you and they'll put their hand on your leg and they'll, like, touch your face trying to figure out things. And he really wanted to infuse that into the character, and I think he did a really good job doing that. The other thing he's spoken about, which I think is really apt, is it's a quote by Louise Gluck, who I haven't heard of before, But the quote is, you experience life once in childhood and the rest is memory. And I feel like that just sums up the whole movie, right? Like you, it doesn't, our first experience of anything is going to stick with us so much, whether that's coming out or having a fight with your parents or whatever. And you're always going to, that's always going to be your foundation as a person. You can never really change those crucial, like, key moments, you know?
Yeah, and this guy never got to grow up after his parents because he was always a child, so he was almost stuck in that moment of his parents dying.
Yeah, which is so understandable, right? Mm-hmm. He lost them when he was really young, lost them both at the same time, and he was gay and had no one to support him.
Mm-hmm.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Do you want to talk about Paul Mescal's character situation a little?
Well, that's my question to you about not changing anything, perfect film. What are your thoughts about the Paul Mescal twist? Is that a good... Does that, what's that add? I'm not saying it was bad. I think I liked it, but I'm wondering what the purpose of it is. Because it just seems like... kicking this guy while he's down. He's seen his parents again, loves them.
Yeah.
And then at the same time, not only has he got wish fulfillment with what it'd be like if he could see his parents again and they'd love him again, he's also got wish fulfillment, what if I was able to have a positive relationship now with the man?
Yeah.
And that also gets pulled out from underneath him.
I think for me it's important because the movie is about him struggling with being gay for a lot of portion of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think... the scenes with Paul strengthen his identity and make him feel it's almost a reprieve from having to, it's this, I don't know, like battle, I guess, with his parents, not a battle, but like he's struggling so much with it in that context that he needs the relief of not struggling with it with someone else, of just being himself. So I think that's what it added for me, was sort of like the character needed to come back and check, like, yes, I am happy in myself and solid in myself, and that gives me strength to go and argue for that in another context.
I agree with that. Then why make him die at the end and be a sixth sense sort of situation?
It's a sixth sense sort of situation. I'm pretty sure that bit came from the book, and I'm not using it as an excuse to be like, oh, it's in the book, we must have it.
Mm.
Obviously, if it doesn't work on screen, it doesn't work on screen. But I don't know why it was there. I don't know.
Mm.
I think it worked for me.
To me, it adds further credence to the viewpoint that he's a writer whose imagination is running wild.
Yeah.
And he's imagining all this stuff with his parents, and then also he's imagining the cute guy who lives down the hall.
Absolutely.
He came and hit on me once, and I said no, and then what if
I think you're totally right. Mm. I think that's what the movie is. Yeah, totally. Because that scene where he first comes and asks him for a drink, that's real.
Yes.
Because we find out later that's the night he killed himself.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm so mad because I'm normally so good at picking when a character only interacts with another character and they never see them interact with anyone else in the outside world. But they bloody did a bait and switch with me. They're like, oh, look at Andrew Scott's in this film. Paul Mescal's in this film. We'll distract you over here.
Well, and they have scenes of them at the nightclub, which could all be made up, or it could be...
I was like, oh, well, he can't be fake then because everyone's seen him at the nightclub. But no, they haven't.
But it's a funny little world they paint, because they're in this big building with no one else around.
Yeah, it's like a new development. So there's two people who've moved in and the rest is empty.
But they're in London, but you don't really feel like you're in London. And they spoke about this, right? They're in a big tower block looking over the world, not really part of it.
Yeah. Well, symbolism then, I guess. Like,
Yeah, no, totally. Yeah. I understand the symbolism. But it's also like, it's like this is a post-pandemic world. There's no one else around. Like,
that's true.
It's
apocalyptic, yeah. Almost. Weird feel.
You see, like, I think it is, but it gives that sort of feel that.
Mm.
And part of that probably small budget. It's about four people. It's not about a big world of people.
Maybe that adds to the sort of magical realism of it too. Mm. Like, it is impossible for them to be in London and yet be in
yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean? So yeah. You're already setting off on like a weird sort of alternate reality. You're a bit
off center.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The
just the idea that he's like a screenwriter, but he doesn't talk to a director, he doesn't have a manager on the phone, that sort of stuff, like you'd see in other movies.
Yeah. I think it is all in his head. I think he maybe went back to the house and then looked at it now. Like, you and I, when we're in the vicinity of our childhood homes or places where we've lived, where we've had really great memories, we'll go, let's go drive by and check it out. And we do, and we're like, oh, they've changed the color of the paint and they've built this and whatever. So I think it's a similar thing, right? Like, he's thinking, oh, how different could my life have been if it had gone differently?
Absolutely. He could be having a psychotic break potentially.
Yeah.
Or it could be real. And I don't think that any of these answers really matter ultimately. That's what I mean. Because it's real to him, as you said.
It doesn't matter. It's real to him. That final sequence, though, where he finds Paul's body and Paul comes in and realizes that ghost him is dead. Real him is dead. It's such, oh God. He says, why did no one find me? And that is just so like devastating, that line, because he was cast out of his family because he was gay. And that meant that he had no friends or family or support. And he was laying there dead for someone to discover him. And no one knew. So he was gone. I think about all the time you hear stories about, oh yeah, my 80-year-old neighbor, I hadn't seen them in 2 weeks. Turns out they were just sitting dead in there.
Longer than
in sometimes. In the unit, you know? Yeah. And I think it sort of pushed forward the message of, we need to take care of each other. Like, we need to look after each other. And if we don't do that, then what's the point of being alive?
Well, that's it. And all of us strangers, we can be strangers to each other, strangers to our family. Yep. But in the end of the day, we're all strangers to each other, so we should try and strengthen those bonds and connections, yeah.
The final shot of the film, so he lays with Ghost Paul on the bed and they're saying goodbye. He's not going to, you know, see him anymore. And we zoom out sort of like into the cosmos and it becomes this sort of like galaxy thing. How did you read that final image and what did you think about it?
Not really sure, I guess. Maybe it's just like we've centered on these two particular people and now pull back to the whole world. And they're representative of everybody.
Okay, that's interesting. I wasn't sure how to interpret the final image. I think
sometimes directors are like, does this make it a bit crazy?
It's a beautiful image. Like, it's
let's get away from just having words and dialogue and actors and try and get more to the subconscious elements
totally,
of
that's
why we're here. We're in a big ideally, you're watching this on a big screen in a dark room with loud music. Like, that's the idea of a higher experience than other things.
Yeah. The only other thing I would add, sort of my interpretation of it, was that I felt, I don't know, there's this belief that, like, souls are stars, or every star is someone who's passed away, and when we zoom out, their light is like a little star in the galaxy.
Absolutely.
And so I thought that was Paul's star.
Maybe.
Forming in a way, and as Andrew was saying goodbye to him. But I guess that's the beauty of just having imagery, is that you can interpret it a lot of different ways. But I know how it made me feel, and it made me feel, well, I'll say that Paul on Twitter, not Paul Atreides, said, if you're lonely and gay, all of us strangers feels like being shot in the chest after receiving the best hug of your life. And I love that, because that is what it feels like. It hurt so much, and yet it was so life-affirming and wonderful.
It could be that this guy, in the story world, there is magic that exists, and he is somebody, his particular talent is connecting with people who passed away.
Conjuring or
and, you know, those ideas of the of, you know, souls getting stuck in limbo.
Yes.
And someone has to help them pass over.
Get through, yeah.
Maybe his parents were stuck. And he helped them get over.
Yeah.
And this guy was stuck. His you know, neighbor was stuck and he helped him get over there.
Yeah.
Maybe. I think that's perfectly valid as any of the other things we've talked about today.
Yeah. But I think it's more that he had to get over that point. He was stuck in the past and had to sort of reconcile some things and put them to bed, and then
that's often the curse, isn't it, that you can help other people but can't help yourself. Yeah. But by doing this experience,
he went through a transformation in a way. Yeah.
oh, that's the story he's written after going to these places in his mind.
Yeah, yeah. I want to say the lighting is absolutely stunning in this film.
Perfect.
Jamie D. Ramsey did the cinematography. Stunning use of like blue colors with Paul and this golden warm yellow that came in. I'm thinking of the scene where he is saying goodbye to his parents and he's in the diner buying the meal that they would have all gotten together. And there's this beautiful, like, hazy golden light on them as they're saying goodbye. And it's just visually really appealing and interesting to watch. Like, I think if you're looking at a movie's success being a director's vision and being consistent with those choices, as I've mentioned lots of times, I think that's pretty perfect to me.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's more special knowing that the director and the actor put so much of themselves into the art that they made.
We said up top that doesn't really matter they didn't get an Oscar nominations because this film's going to exist and get lots of love over time, I'm sure. The only concern I have that is that often films that do snag an Oscar nomination somewhere get a bit of a boost.
Yeah.
And that didn't happen with this film because it didn't get them. That's a shame.
Yeah.
Because I'm with you. I think a lot of people should watch this. I also am concerned that maybe it's been pigeonholed into a gay drama stereotype or genre. Obviously, that's part of it, and that's a key component, of course, but it's not the only thing. And it doesn't mean that if you're not gay, you can't connect to it in any way.
Yeah. So. No, it's about childhood, and it's about grief and connection.
Yeah, and you wonder if the Oscars as an institution, sometimes we've done a gay movie, or, you know, Bradley Cooper's playing a bisexual character, so that there covers that. As we said before, it's not like one guy making decisions.
Totally.
As a voting block. Also, these guys are from Britain. Maybe they want to play the Oscars game.
Maybe they don't give a crap about that. That's totally fine.
And that's fine.
I'm just worried that people won't see it because they won't know about it.
Exactly.
And I think if more people knew about it and watched it, I think it would... Yeah, I think everyone would like it, you know?
Yeah. But, not the be-all and end-all of awards and movies and stuff is to get those nominations or those wins.
Yeah.
But it can give you a boost. And this could be the thing that makes this movie get a Blu-ray release or something, or at least get... Is it even streaming anywhere yet?
No. See, this is what I'm mad about, okay? It's like... So, it doesn't get an Oscar nom, which can mean that it's going to be forgotten. It's not getting a physical release, so you can only watch it on streaming, and it's not streaming anywhere in Australia.
And
so this watch this?
This is a movie with two of the hottest stars.
Yeah.
Plus... two really well-respected actors as well. Yep. This can't get a go.
Right?
what chance has anybody else got?
So how do I keep this? Mm. Like, this is why I need a physical copy and keep it, because I don't trust everyone's going to take it away from me.
Also, props to Andrew Scott and Paul Mescal for sure, but Andrew Scott as the more experienced actor.
Mm-hmm.
Using his Fleabag fame and Sherlock and stuff and all that, but to make this really
interesting stuff,
he could coast on just doing snarky roles and...
Yeah.
Low effort sort of stuff.
Yeah.
But he's doing this.
Yeah.
Good on him.
One thing I just wanted to say before we go that I almost forgot to talk about was the sex scenes.
Mm.
So there's been a lot of talk about it. Some gay sex scenes in this film. But
nothing that controversial, really.
No.
After all the talk.
This is the thing. And Andrew Scott in interviews was talking about, he said, what I think is so radical about the film is that it shows tenderness between two people of the same sex, and it shows the moments before and after sex. It's not just like, here's the sex scene, we're all like doing it and then cut to a new thing. It's the lead up to it, and it's the aftermath, it's the pillow talk afterwards.
I think there's all that talk online about Gen Z don't like sex scenes. I think they're unnecessary and gross and stuff. I think that's a bit of a misnomer, because I think what people are really concerned about is actresses in the main being exploited for the sex scenes.
Yes.
Absolutely. I don't think there's any problem with sex scenes that are done well and serve the story in terms of it can serve a story plot-wise, but it also can, for these guys, it showed their deepening connection, right?
It showed male tenderness love, which you don't really, I don't think I've seen that on screen. I don't think I've seen two male actors treat each other like that on screen.
Yeah, exactly. So, but it wasn't done in a way that it was exploiting their bodies pornographically.
No.
Which I think is kind of the concern for other things.
Yeah.
Not to mention... the Gen Zs or the younger generations or people in general, we're in a post-Me Too world.
Yeah.
But we know so many of those actresses who were in those sex scenes were being forced to or heavily influenced to do those sex scenes to get ahead in their career, right?
Yeah.
So I think that's kind of the concern. So I think...
Totally. I think it's different now. They have intimacy coordinators
as well. Absolutely, yeah. Like, I think we're in a better world now. And I think... But there's some people who are like, oh, they hate nudity. They're such prudes, the younger generations. I don't think that's true. I think they're just viewing things through a different lens.
Well said. Good point.
But you're right. Going into this movie, it's like, oh, it's gay. They're so gay. It's all these sex scenes and stuff. I knew it wasn't going to be like that, but it was not. It was actually really beautiful.
It was really beautiful. Yeah.
But and the headline is like hot and heavy, Andrew Scott and Paul Mescal.
Oh, what it is. I really love too that they've become really close friends out of this and they'll be friends forever pretty much. So that was really nice to see two people who really love each other create a really beautiful piece of art. Mm-hmm. So
that's right.
All right. Rating time.
5 out of 5. What about you?
Same. Perfect film. Wouldn't change anything.
Mm-hmm.
Probably the best thing I've seen this year.
Okay.
I think. Up there with Past Lives for me of the most recent similar movies that just break my heart. Do I just like being depressed?
Maybe they thought Past Lives has got our sort of sad romance.
Maybe.
Quota filled.
I say all nominations to sad movies. I'd rather watch this that makes me feel something and reflect on my life than something that's fun and happy and...
Yeah.
Well, no, that's not true. Different moods.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you for listening. We've done our Oscar stuff. Oscar season's over, so we're just talking about these movies. And really, I would recommend tracking this down.
I don't know how you're going to watch it, but if you can, it's really, really good.
Yeah. We'll watch everything Paul Mescal's in, won't we? We watched Foe for him. We liked Foe. It was all right.
We need to watch Carmen, and I want to see the movie that he does where he's a bad boy.
Mm.
Heavenly Creatures?
No. You always say that, but it's not that.
Is that the Joel Alwyn one?
Heavenly Creatures is the Peter Jackson movie from the 90s.
What is it then?
Isn't it God's Children or something?
God.
Just called God.
One moment, everyone. God's Creatures, you're right.
There you go, okay. Heavenly Creatures. Right, cool. I see where you got that.
God's Creatures. So God's Creatures and Carmen we need to watch. Gladiator 2, he's coming up in. So excited for that. Mm. Can't wait. You need to watch the original.
Mm.
We'll get onto that. History of Sound. I saw a picture from the other day from set.
Oh, that's like the period piece.
Mm-hmm. Period piece he's doing. And then Merrily We Roll Along.
Won't get released for 20 years, but it's cool.
It won't get released for 20 years. And then Andrew Scott's in a film called Back in Action that is apparently coming out this year.
What's Back in Action about?
An upcoming American action comedy film directed by Seth Gordon. Cameron Diaz, Jamie Foxx, Kyle Chandler, Andrew Scott, Jamie Demetrio, and then Close. Okay. All right. Hey, you know how we were talking about coasting?
One for you, one for me.
I guess so, yeah.
All right. Well, thank you for listening. We'll be back very soon. We'll see you next time.
Bye. Bye.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
I'm Ina Garten. Welcome to Be My Guest, the podcast. One of the best gifts you can give friends is spending time together. But what's even better than that? Cooking with them. On Be My Guest, the podcast, new friends and old stop by my barn for some conversation and great cooking. We talk about food, life, and everything in between. Listen to Be My Guest, the podcast with me, Ina Garten, and join us wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.